Mannion picked up his 1866 Winchester Yellow Boy repeater. I should have conked you over the head, tied your belly down across your saddle, and slapped that cayuse of yours back to town. My new son-in-law and Doc Bohannon should be tending that wound even as we palaver. Flint Henry grinned and shook his head. It was more of a grimace than a grin. Told you, Joe, I've cut myself worth shaving. Mannion snorted. It was one of his own badly worn quips. We got bad men to take down, Flint said, using his own Winchester to lever himself to his feet. He didn't make it. He flopped back down against his saddle with a groan and a heavy sigh. Damn. See, Mannion said, you need to listen to your betters. Damn it, Joe. The Wells Fargo man, a little older than Bloody Joe's 47 years, and who sported a thick gray dragoon-style mustache and frosty blue eyes, shook his head, removed his black Stetson, and slapped it down on the ground beside him in anger. I do believe you're right. You're going to have to take down those scurvy devils alone because I was fool enough to get myself shot out of my saddle. 2 days previously, the five owl hoots they'd been trailing from southern Colorado had hit a narrow-gauge train en route to Pueblo. During the robbery, they'd killed four armed Wells Fargo messengers and a female express agent. They'd effected an ambush on the two lawmen early the previous day. Flint Henry, veteran lawman that he was, having town marshaled and worn county sheriff badges throughout the rowdy frontier west before joining the famed express agency, had insisted on pushing on. He'd claimed the bullet hadn't hit anything important, only bounced off a rib or two. Maybe it hadn't bounced off anything important, but it had caused him to lose a lot of blood. Mannion did not like how pale and drawn his old friend appeared. Too late to do anything about it now. He drew a thick handkerchief from a pocket of his black denim trousers and set it over the ragged hole the bullet had torn in Flint's shirt. Press that to the wound. Might keep you from bleeding dry. Henry laughed, then groaned as he pressed the cloth against the wound. He stood and looked across their camp and past their two horses tied to picket pins strung between two pines. I've taken more than five down all by my lonesome more times than I have fingers to count. Flint grinned. You're not as young as you used to be, Joe. Don't I know, Mannion growled. He looked at his old friend again. They'd fought in the frontier army together back before Mannion had gone to work as a town tamer of some renown in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas back in the days of the great cattle drives. Back before the coming of the damnable, from his point of view, Iron Horse. They'd been friends for a lot of years. Mannion valued their friendship. A contrary cuss, even by his own estimation, he didn't have all that many close companions. Never had. Likely never would. No, Bloody Joe was not a man to acquire many friends, but he had plenty of enemies. One of those was the deputy county sheriff running with the hooligans. Mannion had never liked Bill Wade. Now he'd take him and the others down and throw the cuffs on them, take them back to Del Norte to stand trial. Or kick them out with a cold shovel, so to speak. The latter would be more satisfying. The last time he'd checked, a little over an hour ago, when it had just started to get light, the Burman had been camped on a nearby mountain slope, on a flat shelf above a wash. Mannion intended to take them down at dawn, when they were still groggy, but it was light enough for him to make them out. Since the previous day's attack, Mannion had seen no sign that his quarry knew they were still being trailed. They probably thought that when they'd shot one of their shadowers, they'd discourage them both. They must not know Joe Mannion's bloody reputation. Mannion squeezed the yellow boy in his gloved hand and gritted his teeth. They'd get to know his reputation soon enough.